across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, June 13th, 2024. Another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or through the Civic Media app, or maybe watching us on social media video, or on demand by podcast. Thank you very much for taking us along on your day. You can reach the show here at 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what the weather's been like. Just taking a peek at the radar here, and looks like the line of thunderstorms that went through the state overnight now stretches from Manitowoc, Sheboygan, West Bend, all the way down to just, Janesville, basically, Janesville to Monroe. So all of that area, it was loud going through last night up here. Not severe, but got your attention as it went through, and we ended up with 0.6 inches up here in Chippewa Falls. So feel free to let us know how things are over in your part of the state as well. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call or text that number. Joe Sopecki is going to join us as he does on Thursday mornings, and I already know what's on his mind. It's an interesting question about Donald Trump's running mate. We've heard the names of all the usual suspects, but what about Wisconsin? And what's the possibility there for a swing state where every vote is going to count? In our second hour, our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, introduces us to a candidate for assembly in Northeast Wisconsin. What we know about her right now is that her opponent in November, she might be running against Phil Collins or Ben Franklin. Not that Phil Collins, not that Ben Franklin. That's the way things work with elections and names and coincidences sometimes. So we've got that coming up. Luke Mathers will tell us who made the final round of Top Chef Wisconsin as Top Chef Wisconsin becomes Top Chef Curacao for the final two episodes. Brittany Merlot has the weekend forecast and so much more coming up here in just a bit. First, temperatures around the state at 6. Lake Wissota is at 63 degrees right now, up in Hayward, 57. Park Falls, 59. Wausau is at 63 degrees. Green Bay, 65. La Crosse, 65. Wisconsin Rapids reporting 64 right now. Oshkosh, 65. Madison, 66. And it is 66 degrees in Waukesha. We're at the WAUK studios. We find one Greg Bach, because if we found two Greg Bachs, that would be weird. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Pratt.
Oh my gosh.
It's okay. Kreitlow. It's 66 degrees, but it is dark outside.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Based on what I saw on the radar there, yeah. It's a stormy one. It's a dark and stormy. And those were always the ones you hated to go to the bus stop for, you know, because you're like, well, you don't have any choice, really. You got to trudge out there. Our bus stop, we lived in an apartment complex that was kind of up on a hill, kind of overlooking the city of St. Paul. It was actually quite picturesque. But there was this huge, I can't remember if it was an oak or an elm. I'm going to say it was an elm. Huge elm tree on the corner there. And it was great, but boy, you know, those times when it was raining and you hear a little thunder and you're like, we're going to go wait for the bus down over here and they'll find us. So one Sunday morning, as a paper boy, I was getting set to deliver, the Sunday St. Paul Pioneer Press. And those are, you know, you have to, you know, remember how big Sunday papers used to be back when we were kids?
Oh, I used to deliver them, yeah.
Yes. And so I'd have to do it in stages, you know, get those big heavy bundles and walk them down to the first building and then go back to the corner and go. And I, just as I walked into the building, I heard the loudest crash ever, kind of knocked me down with the rumble. And that tree was half gone. Ooh. The tree where I had just been moments earlier.
Oh, my gosh.
Picking up newspapers. Yeah. And of course, like as often happens in these things, no witnesses because it's 5 in the morning. So nobody would believe me, you know.
Sure, Pat. Sure.
Sure, Pat. Sure. Just because you happen to be there at your usual time and where the newspapers are or were.
Get back to stuffing those papers.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know what I did back then? Hmm. I was, I think, 14 at the time, 13, 14. I wrote my own newsletter, and I tucked it into the newspaper.
You incredible nerd.
When people say, "What, you know, about the Up North News Daily newsletter, like, you know, that thing got started really strong. Yeah, I've had some practice. I did a newsletter / newspaper for my elementary school. I didn't ask permission. I made it on construction paper and I tape it up in the hallway. And after a couple of weeks, one of the teachers is like, "Are you the one doing this newspaper?" I'm like, "Yes." He's like, "It's really good. Keep doing it." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, fine."
This is some hard hitting reporting here, son.
Yeah, no, it was more goofball parody, you know, jokes and things like that. But the one for the, as a paperboy for the apartment complex, we'll talk about events there, but there was a method to that. I started it because I got tired of being stiffed on collection day because, again, back then, these poor newspaper paper boys and paper girls, they had to collect for their own route. And so you'd get these people going, "I don't owe you anything. Yeah, I didn't get any newspapers from you." And they'd slam the door and they'd stiff you. And of course, it would come out of your pocket. So this newsletter would remind people, "Hey, Friday, I'm going to be coming around, blah, blah, blah." So can't say you didn't know. And it actually, my collections improved.
That's very, very cool.
Nerds rule, kids. Nerds rule. I don't care how often I got beat up. It's the nerds rule.
Well, I care that you got beat up. I mean, come on now.
Honestly, that only happened one time. And you know why it happened? Hard to believe. I made sarcastic, smart-alecky comments to one wrong person.
I was going to say, did you kind of ask for it, Pat? Did you kind of provoke it?
Kind of might have invited that punch to the gut at the bus stop. And I'm like, well, and as I laid there trying not to bring breakfast back up, I'm like, I had that coming, but it was still really funny. And as you know, at a comedy club, sometimes comedy hurts. Sometimes comedy hurts.
Commit to the bit.
And I did. And I guess I'm proud of myself.
Well, here now. Look at you.
Here I am.
You've been in the newspaper business for decades. Let's just say decades.
Yeah. Going from newsletters to you know, making ha-has here on the radio with a professional ha-ha-er. So I guess I'm doing all right by myself. In the daily newsletter for Up North News, this one you'll like. Christina's got a story in there about some of the more obscure laws on the books around Wisconsin. For example, did you know that in Sun Prairie, it is illegal to make, store, or deliver nuclear weapons? So if you're in Sun Prairie, do not make, store, or deliver nuclear weapons.
Pat, it's on the books. I gotta go. I'm
Mathers lives in Sun Prairie. What do you know?
Made me listen to Top Chef one too many times.
Yep, that's it. We're nuking this place. In Hudson, it's still on the books that all dwellings will be fitted with screen doors from May 1st to October 1st. So if you don't have a screen door on, you're breaking the law,
breaking the law.
And let's see, there's one more. Oh, this one's not in the books anymore, from 1935 to 1937, state law forced restaurants to serve apple pie with cheese. It was illegal to serve apple pie without a slice of cheese on it.
That is weird.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has their preferences, but yeah, we're mandating that there has to be cheese on your apple pie. So I like this now, because now when people say, "Oh, there's too much regulation," it's like, no. Here's when there was too much regulation, you know?
I will say, though, I've always been curious with apple pie and cheese. What kind of cheese do you serve with it? I would totally try, because I feel like it's that thing of, I was talking to Jane about this on the show this week. We had a segment about, like, what are your hard food takes? And I used to be of the camp that criticized pineapple and ham on pizza, Hawaiian pizza, but I have never tried it.
How that works.
And then one day my friend said, "Here, just try a little bit." And I did. And I'm like, that thing of like, you're trying it, you're eating it, you're liking it, but then in your head you're going, "Now I have to like go back and like apologize and be the guy who's like, this is really, I want more." But yeah, I would totally try.
I heard that so many times. I would still be a picky eater by almost anybody's standards, but I was so much worse. And how many times poor Sherry has said over the past 41 years now, did you try it? Mm. And now there's all these things I liked that I had to try. Still some will never. Celery, like? Green peppers.
Wait.
Are two examples of things. I have a gag reflex.
What is those. With celery? Like, that was the thing, is people kept calling in and texting celery.
There's something about there's something about the smell, I guess.
There's no, it's hard water. Oh, it's just hard piece of water.
That's what people say. That's what people say. But yeah, I don't like it. It's not as bad as green peppers. Is just a straight up gag reflex.
Green
just
peppers is like give or take, you know, like yeah. On pizza maybe, but I don't really want it on anything else.
No. Let's see. Oh, from Roger, points out that Sam Hauser, Spash 2016, Stevens point guy, played 14 minutes for the Boston Celtics and had 9 points in the Celtics win last night. They took a 3-0 lead over Dallas in the NBA Finals, which is surprising nobody because this has been Boston's year all the way around.
Well, Jrue Holiday is going to continue the tradition of Bucks going to the Celtics and winning championships.
Yes. And, you know, a lot of people are going to be happy for him. It wasn't like, you know, we all kicked him out of town. So, yeah. You know, we're happy that he's got that going for him. And what was I going to say? Oh, about the NBA. Jerry West passed away at the age of 86. Mm-hmm. A literal icon.
Yes.
Because the NBA logo is based on him. He was the inspiration. Not everybody can say that. In fact, I don't know anybody else that can say that, to be honest. But again, a legend with the Lakers, a world champion in 1972, 14 seasons, 14 all-star teams, the man knew his stuff. So attention must be paid if you are a basketball fan to the now late great Jerry West. When we come back, we're going to unpack the news. And among stories coming up either in our next segment or some point this morning, Congressman Tom Tiffany gets called out on live TV by a news anchor for continuing to lie about Hunter Biden and the Biden family. Speaker Mike Johnson has some troubling words. Rather than taking responsibility for January 6th, wants to investigate the January 6th committee. And from inspirational purposes, we give you one of the best graduation commencement speeches so far of this year from tennis great Roger Federer. That and so much more coming up on this Thursday morning, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I love this Bette Midler version of Do You Want to Dance so much.
Do you want to dance and hold my hand?
It is just so sweet. From 1972, I believe. Bette Midler is not part of today's history lesson, but the original version of this song is. So stick around for that. We've got today's history lesson about 30 minutes from now. Scotty Summer, the statewide text to win contest comes up less than an hour from now. You know the game by now. You get the Civic Media app, download that, use the text feature to text us the keyword for that particular hour. And we're going to play next hour with a keyword that you're going to text to us. Then we pick one of those entries at random to win an hourly Wisconsin Dells prize pack. Somebody gets a daily prize of fantastic Brewers club level tickets and several different options to choose from for a staycation grand prize. And contrary to whatever you heard from Todd and Jane as they're on the road, the Kreitlow Bed and Breakfast and Pontoon Ride is not part of the Scotty Summer text to win contest, unless you ask nicely. Then I could see that happening.
Well, it's the only way I'm going to be able to get in a pontoon boat, apparently, because I can't play because I work for this company.
you're already more in the running than anybody else to get on the pontoon because I know you.
Yeah,
I don't know a lot of these folks out here, and so the big question today is, when Todd Alba and Jane Matinier do their shows, Jane at 10, Todd at noon, live from Shift Cyclery in Eau Claire today, mm-hmm. when their shows are done, are they going to try to finagle a pontoon ride out of me, or are they going to scamper right up to Amory right away to get ready for Friday's shows?
That's up to them. I mean, if it was me, I would be mm-hmm. ending the show early. I mean, like, oh, sorry, there's been a pontoon emergency. I'm not on the pontoon boat. I got mm-hmm. to go.
Yep. So there is that possibility that, you know, we may, and you know, who knows, much like the old song, Ride, Captain, Ride, we may go sailing off into history and somebody else have to do the shows in Amory tomorrow. We'll just see how that boat ride goes. But again, it's going to be fun listening to them on the radio as part of their road trip in Eau Claire at 10 and at noon, and I will join them in Eau Claire along the way. Might have Jim Santel joining us from the weekend legal show Amicus, and other guests along the way. So be tuning in throughout the day here on Civic Media, and maybe get entered into that Scotty Summer contest several times today. Brewers rookie starting pitcher Tobias Myers has now won back-to-back starts as the Brewers beat the Blue Jays 5-4 yesterday afternoon. It's the Brewers' sixth consecutive home series win. Myers went six innings against Toronto, allowing one run on only three hits, only one walk, and four strikeouts. The Brewers are off today, but they stay in town. Cincinnati will be at American Family Field this weekend for three games before the Brewers go off on a West Coast road trip next week. So keep that in mind. Late night baseball all throughout the next week here. Some late starts, games that I won't even see the first pitch for. But the Cincinnati series at home this weekend, 7-10 tomorrow, 3-10 Saturday afternoon, 1-10 on Sunday. Freddie Peralta will be on the mound for the Brewers tomorrow to kick off that series. Catch the pregame at 6:35 tomorrow on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls. I have a challenge for folks, and I promise you, I'm not saying this lightly, this challenge that I'm going to give you. It's been several weeks now since Donald Trump spoke in Waukesha. But one of the things in the back of my mind was to go back and review the speech, because that way, when for the rest of the campaign, and this is just solely for news purposes, if Trump says something and it matches something that he said in Waukesha, I don't have to go grab him speaking in Nevada or some other state. I can say, as Trump said in Wisconsin, blah, blah, blah. So I thought I better go back through and see what were the topics that he brought up and just kind of bookmark them. That's how it started, innocently enough. And now I say this to people in all sincerity, and I posted it yesterday. You see little clips of Donald Trump speaking. I doubt that very many people listening to this broadcast have attended or watched an entire Donald Trump rally speech. Remember, I said the other night, I sat down and read it. I just would challenge every one of you, and I put a link on my social media pages to it. Go find the transcript of a Donald Trump rally speech and just read that. And tell me that that is a healthy man. Tell me that that is somebody who should be entrusted with the nuclear codes. Again, I'm not going to pass judgment any other way. You read it. You watch where this goes. And I think the only other thing I'll say in terms of an impression that you'll get is imagine talking to your grandpa, well, no, listening to your grandpa go on and on and on and on. And yet every couple of minutes or so, he keeps coming back to those immigrants, those aliens, the border. You can tell he's got, it's like, grandpa, we get it. You don't like the brown people coming over. Fine. But then he'll go talk about something else. Like the other day, he was talking about electric boat motors and how they could electrocute you if the boat sinks. But what if there's a shark circling the boat or something like that? He'll tell that story. And then again, he'll come back to, you know, immigrants and making up stuff. There's a lot of things you're going to read through that transcript and go, You know, I don't even have to fact check this to know he's just making this up at this point. But we're going to go through and fact check it anyway so that we can say, hey, in Wisconsin, this is the thing that he said and this is the thing that he did. He does still have friends and supporters out there. One of them is the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. And I want to play a little bit of what Mike Johnson had to say about to a reporter who said, you know, you just found Republicans in the House cited Merrick Garland for contempt of court. And they said, well, you know, you've got some Republicans who are in contempt of Congress, rather. Listen to what Mike Johnson had to say about contempt of Congress and members, Republican members who ignored the pleas to come testify by the January 6th committee.
Deborah.
You and Leader Scalise talked about the importance of Merrick Garland complying with a congressional subpoena. I'm curious, since Chairman Jordan and four other colleagues declined to do that under the January 6th committee, if you worry that undermines the argument at all?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought up the January 6th committee. We'll be talking a lot more about that in the coming weeks. There's been a lot of investigation about that committee. I don't think it was properly constituted. I don't think it was properly administered, and now we know that apparently some of the evidence was hidden and some maybe even destroyed. So you'll hear much more about that in the days ahead.
So for any of those folks who thought that Mike Johnson, this mild-mannered fella, you know, was going to come in and be some kind of a moderating influence after all of the drama, no. Then you didn't know that Mike Johnson came into Congress as right-wing extreme as ever before. And did you catch the glee? Like, I'm so glad you asked about the January 6th committee, where, again, the whole point of the MAGA movement is to investigate the investigators, to hound and harass the judges, to intimidate the jurors and the witnesses. And nowhere in there, did you hear any contrition about respecting the rule of law, respecting election results, and maybe getting back to work for things that could actually benefit the American people. So that's where we have Donald Trump and Mike Johnson at this state of the election year. Joe Sopecki is going to talk to us a bit about maybe who Donald Trump should consider as a running mate, or why isn't he? That's coming up next. You're up north. All right, we've made it to Thursday morning, 6:34 here on Up North News Radio. Joe Sopecki joining us. Joe had a chance to go to yesterday's Brewer matinee, but has decided to. What did you do? Decide on a game next month? A matinee? I bring this up because I'm so jealous. You're so close to the ballpark to be able to just go to these day games when work allows. I love it.
And that's really the issue, is that work did not allow this week. So, you know, that's okay. We're trading those tickets for a game in July.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm sure. I hope the weather's as gorgeous as it looked on my TV as the game was as the game was going on. Also down by you last weekend was the state Democratic Party convention in Milwaukee, not to be confused with the Republican National Convention that'll be in Milwaukee next month. Now we're saying already. So from a Democratic state convention standpoint, did you have any takeaways watching the usual parade of delegates and speakers and hangers-on and VIPs?
Yeah, I mean, I thought a nice mix of folks that really reflected what's going on in our country and in our politics and what people need to know this year. And, you know, ranging from Tony Evers talking about getting our stuff done.
Stuff.
He actually said, you know, a he word you can't else, say on yeah, radio.
Yep.
You know, from Jamie Harrison, the chair of the DNC, bringing a message of hope. Talking about that difference between the two parties, that the Republicans, the MAGA, the maggots have clearly made the GOP, or what remains of it, a party of fear, and Democrats are the party of hope. That is a clear contrast, and that's really well defined. Thought he did a nice job. And then the flip side of that coin is you got to motivate the base. You got to remind people what's at stake. And I thought J.B. Pritzker, governor of Illinois, is a heck of an attack dog. And it's doing a really nice, you know, Democratic version of Chris Christie in just bringing it when it comes to the former guy. And, you know, some of it was maybe a little meaner than I would say. But that's, well, that's okay.
Well, he's from Illinois. That's how this works, right?
And, you know, just clarifying that choice and talking about how, you know, Joe Biden is a candidate for president who is committed to making progress, and Donald Trump is a candidate for president who's trying to make bail. That really boils it down and distills it, and I thought it was well received. All of the reviews that I've seen have been very positive. So clearly a good time, and that convention did what it needs to do, which is rally the troops and get people locked in for these last 4.5 months or so.
And as I was looking at what our friend Dan Schaefer wrote in the recombobulation area, his takeaways from the convention also included, again, it's kind of stating the obvious, but you got to confirm these things when you get everybody together, that, as he writes it, there's a whole lot of energy for down ballot races under the new maps. And that is palpable everywhere.
It is, and I think it's going to help both Tammy Baldwin and Joe Biden. The fact that there are parts of this state that Democratic voters have not felt like they had any chance at anything close to representation that reflects their values for more than a decade. Now we have, 97 out of 99 districts have a Democrat running in them in the assembly. Every state Senate district, there's a Democratic candidate running in. One of them last night, Jamie Wall, great candidate up in the northeast part of the state, running for the state Senate. And that matters. And for people who maybe are a little frustrated by that choice between Joe Biden and Donald Trump and feel like it's just a rerun of last time, those local choices can get people out and have a reverse coattails, I guess we would call that, effect. Yeah. And I think that bodes well for our statewide candidates.
All right. And of course, all the attention's on November. But as we explained to folks a couple days back, people will be asked shortly thereafter to be thinking about April of next year, when there is another state Supreme Court race and one that could flip control back to conservatives. We've mentioned Dane County Judge Susan Crawford getting in most recently on the progressive side, and former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel is already announced as well. There could be more. There could be a primary. But just on what we know about Schimmel as Attorney General and Crawford getting into the race, what's your early take?
Who, backlog Brad? The guy who... The guy who dropped the ball on 6,000 rape kits that went untested during his, if you want to call it, stewardship or leadership of the Department of Justice. The guy was a unbelievable failure as Attorney General, failed to do the bare minimum, which is make sure that evidence that was in the custody of the Department of Justice was reviewed and looked at to try to go and catch the bad guys. State's top cop, give me a break. And so, of course, after he lost that reelection bid to current Attorney General Josh Call, what happens to losers on the Republican side? Scott Walker gives him a plum assignment on the bench. Hey, you sucked at being Attorney General. Why don't you go be a judge in Waukesha? I mean, failed statewide candidates, just rinse and repeat is sort of the Republican playbook these days. I think we'll probably get to Eric Hovde in a second, but you're going to go with people who have already lost statewide, made a hash out of the jobs they were elected to, and expect that that's going to go well? I don't think so.
I just think you overlooked the important part of what he got done, and that was spending $10,000 on challenge coins.
Oh, that's right. The coins.
Yeah.
What a great substitute for leadership.
Back to the campaign for November. First Lady Jill Biden is going to be in Green Bay today, kicking off another tour. A lot of these tours have a tendency to kick off in this particular battleground state. I can only wonder why. This one, the First Lady is bringing a message that is geared towards seniors. Wisconsin has a lot of them compared to other states. And so there are messages there. The first one that comes to my mind is healthcare, of course. But I'm sure she has a multi-pronged message to bring to Wisconsin's older voters.
I'm sure she does as well. One of the challenges with our politics today is this sense of collective amnesia about the Donald Trump presidency, because it ended in a pandemic and then an insurrection and an attack on the Capitol. The trauma that we went through collectively as a nation, I think, really made us forget just how ridiculous the first 3 years of his term were. So one of the things that people have forgotten is that every single budget introduced by Donald John Trump when he was president of the United States proposed cuts to both Social Security benefits and Medicare. Those are two programs that are pretty important to older Americans, to seniors living in Wisconsin, who the earned benefit of Social Security, which they paid into their entire life, Donald Trump and Republicans, they got no problem cutting that and taking it away, making you work longer and harder and breaking that promise that was made to people when they entered the workforce. Medicare, a lifeline when it comes to healthcare for older Americans, they have no problem taking money out of that, making it cost more out of pocket, as opposed to Democrats like Joe Biden, Tammy Baldwin, who have been working to strengthen Medicare. That is a crystal clear difference between those two candidates. Glad we're getting Dr. Biden back. And I think she's going to have a lot of success and be very well received.
All right. Last week, we talked a bit about how Trump campaign attorney Jim Troupas was facing felony charges for his role in the fake elector scheme. We learned this week that he has now been suspended from his role on a Wisconsin judicial ethics panel. And so I wanted to get your reaction to that and also ask what you're hearing. Again, no guarantees anything's coming of it, but that you're hearing a little bit more often. And that is whether, for all of his bravado, Ron Johnson ought to be concerned about what Mr. Troupas and Mr. Chesbrough are facing in conjunction with the fake electors plot.
At the moment, I don't think so. And that may be an unpopular opinion, but here's the reality, folks. If you want to see the rats turning on one another, we got to beat Donald Trump. Right now, everybody within that criminal enterprise believes that Donald Trump can win in November, and when he is president of the United States, he will make all of their legal troubles go away. He's already successfully kicked a lot of these cases past the election. Donald Trump is running to stay out of jail, and you know that he will do favors for all of his cronies and accomplices. However, when we beat Donald John Trump's behind again, and there is no get out of jail free cards on offer, whoo boy. Pat, let me tell you, the knives are going to be out. They are all going to be flipping on one another, trying to get the best possible deal. And when that happens, yeah, if I'm Senator Ron Johnson, I am awfully nervous. And so if you didn't have enough motivation to get out the vote this fall, and to reelect Joe Biden and to reelect Tammy Baldwin and Democrats, there's a little sweetener for you. The absolute craziness that is going to ensue after Trump loses in all of these legal machinations, there won't be a need for any reality TV shows on CBS or ABC or NBC, because those guys will provide all of it.
Conversely, if it doesn't go that way, then Ron Johnson will have a new BFF in the U.S. Senate by the name of Eric Hovde. But for Hovde to win, he'll have to overcome...
Can we stop and talk about Ron Johnson for 1 second?
Sure.
Because a thought occurred to me this week. Yeah. The Veep stakes is ramping up.
Oh, yes, yes.
And here's my question for you, Pat. How nuts do people have to think you are for a politically successful, elected multiple times in a battleground state, the battleground state of Wisconsin, with a business background, outsidery, kind of like Donald Trump, the Don and Ron show. Remember that one?
Yeah.
How nuts do you have to be for there never to be even a whisper of Ron Johnson being Donald Trump's vice president?
Mike, I'm absolutely shell-shocked by this because of why? Because of Doug Burgum. Who? Right. Who? Well, Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota, he's a businessman and he's wealthy and he delivers absolutely nothing. And holy cow, Joe, if Doug Burgum's on that short list, why isn't Ron Johnson on there?
Inquiring minds want to know. My theory here is that even the Trump world thinks Ron Johnson has gone so far around the bend that they want nothing to do with him. And that, my friends, is a heck of an achievement.
Oh boy. But again, if things go his way, he gets a new buddy in the Senate, name of Eric Hovde, but he will have to stop stepping on rakes. And the most recent one is a beach rake, not from a golf course sand trap, but from the big sand trap known as Laguna Beach, where apparently, reportedly, he was seen lounging when a flyer said he was going to be at a weekend event in Oconto County. Now, we've said before, you know, scheduling mishaps do come up, but at no point did any of my scheduling mishaps include, you know, being on a beach on the coast.
This is not a mishap. This is not a mishap. This is a choice by a terrible candidate running a terrible campaign. Because I've been in those rooms advising statewide candidates. And let me tell you what happens. The calendar on day one, hey, we're going to give you some time back home. We're going to get you off the trail. You're going to be able to recharge. Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth, said Mike Tyson. Right? Eric Hovde has been taking lumps. Because the he's not from here, California surfer dude message is working. And so when that happens, when, 5 months into this campaign, Eric Hovde's spending millions of dollars on TV ads that are still trying to convince people he's a Wisconsinite, the change in the campaign scheduling is, hey, boss, for the next 5 months, you got to stay here. There's just way too much risk if you go back to California even once. And that is just a obvious no-brainer of a change that you make. And it's not like he was escaping the colds of January or February.
No.
It is so dumb. I can't believe I'm going to do this. But here's Sheriff David Clark on Eric Hovde. Somebody should be fired. Well, you can't fire the candidate. Right. Quote, this is David Clark. Quote, Hovde is not going to win. He needs a course correction. You think?
Yeah. Yeah, I do think, because look, even Tim Michaels, for all the grief he got about being a Connecticut businessman, was not photographed playing croquet in the backyard of his, you know, mansion there along the Atlantic coast.
He's so bad.
Eric Hovde is not good at this. Joe Specky, pleasure as always. Thank you for your time. Have a wonderful weekend.
Hey, happy Father's Day to you this week.
Oh, thank you so much to you as well. When we come back, today's history lesson and still your chance to win in the Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest next here up north. Alanis Morissette released Jagged Little Pill, asking a question submitted to her by Greg Bach.
Do I stress you out?
No.
My sweater is on backwards and inside out, and you say how?
That's true. You've never worn a sweater backwards and inside out. T-shirts, maybe. Sweaters, no. You know better. So.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Jagged Little Pill released this day in 1995.
A little bit of a hit, would you say?
I've made all the younger folks feel old now. Like, wait, 1995? Yeah, it was that long ago already. Yeah, that one took off, you know, and I don't want to get into it again, but this is one of the others that people say, oh, did she have the sophomore jinx? Yes, she had hits afterwards, but, I mean, when you have a juggernaut like this album was, yeah. You know, it's always tough to follow that up.
I think this is one of those albums where it's like it sold like 10, 15 million copies, and then the next one sold 4 or 5, and you're like, what a failure. A failure.
Yeah, could I please fail selling 4 million? I don't know. On this day in 1774, Rhode Island became the first British colony in North America to ban the importation of slaves. Bobby Freeman was born this day in 1940. He had a hit in 1958 with a song I played earlier, the Bette Midler version, but here was the original from Bobby Freeman. Bobby Freeman passed away in 2017. Birthdays today include actor Tim Allen from Home Improvement. Hannah Storm from ESPN is 62 today. So is Ally Sheedy. She turned 62 today. Yeah, 62. Member of the Brat Pack, Breakfast Club, War Games, Short Circuit, St. Elmo's Fire, Made to Order, Brat Pack, which Greg and I both immediately seized upon because today is the day. Today is the day of the Hulu documentary about the Brat Pack comes out today.
Can't wait to watch it tonight.
So I was going to say, somewhere in all of these 10,000 open tabs, I swear I had some notes about it, but you're just going to have to take my word for it. But who does it? Andrew McCarthy, right?
Andrew McCarthy directed it. Yeah.
It's, yes.
And I was like, well, is he going to get this person? Is he going to get this person? And when he got Rob Lowe, I'm like, all right, there's going to be a lot of people in this. And he even talks to like the offshoots, the spinoff Brat Packers too. It's I can't wait.
Oh, I know. It's gonna be really something. So yeah, we know the plan for tonight. again, assuming I'm not, shanghaied on a pontoon with Ms.
Oh, boo-hoo, poor you, man.
I'm just saying I'd like to watch the documentary. Yeah. But yeah, it's on the Hulu. You can catch it anytime. Let's see. Also having a birthday today. Oh, this is gonna make some people feel old too. Lead singer of Weezer, Rivers Cuomo, is 54.
Actually, their first record, the Blue Record, came out 30 years ago this week.
30 years ago. Yep. Captain America is 43, Chris Evans.
I'm so sad now.
I got one more that's going to do it, though.
What?
Those cute little adorable twins, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Don't. Just don't. Don't.
38 years old today. Yep.
I've done nothing with my life.
On this day in 1988, Paula Abdul released her debut album, Forever Your Girl.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
You got to remember.
This is also International Axe Throwing Day. I'm not sure that's a good idea.
Is there a company listing?
It's World Softball Day. It is National Sewing Machine Day for you three people left who use that. And it's a CNA week as well for all the nursing assistants out there. Thank you for all that you do. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure I saved a little time here to play probably the best commencement address you're going to hear for 2024. It was at Dartmouth, and it was delivered by tennis legend Roger Federer. And look, I'm not casting aspersions. I don't know how much of it he wrote. I don't know if there was a ghostwriter. Whatever it was, you still have to deliver it. Listen to the points he's making. I mean, these are just such words of inspiration that can carry you through some of the rough days and keep your head on straight during the good days. Here's Roger Federer.
In tennis, perfection is impossible. In the 1,526 singles matches I played in my career, I won almost 80% of those matches. Now, I have a question for you. What percentage of points do you think I won in those matches? Only 54%. In other words, even top-ranked tennis players win barely more than half of the points they play. When you lose every second point on average, you learn not to dwell on every shot. You teach yourself to think, okay, I double faulted, it's only a point. Okay, I came to the net and I got passed again, it's only a point. Even a great shot, an overhead backhand smash that ends up on ESPN's top 10 playlist, that too is just a point. So here's why I'm telling you this. When you're playing a point, it has to be the most important thing in the world, and it is. But when it's behind you, it's behind you. This mindset is really crucial because it frees you to fully commit to the next point and the next point after that with intensity, clarity, and focus. The truth is, whatever game you play in life, sometimes you're going to lose a point, a match, a season, a job. It's a roller coaster with many ups and downs. And it's natural when you're down to doubt yourself and to feel sorry for yourself. And by the way, your opponents have self-doubt too. Don't ever forget that. But negative energy is wasted energy. You want to become a master at overcoming hard moments. That is, to me, the sign of a champion. The best in the world are not the best because they win every point. It's because they know they lose again and again and have learned how to deal with it.
I mean, honestly,
yeah.
Those same words, that same sentiment has been shared 1,000 times mm-hmm. in commencement speeches, but it was packaged so well, along with the whole tennis analogy about it coming from a champion who's lost nearly half the points he ever played. I can totally see now why it's getting so much viral attention. It was just so well delivered.
It's like when they talk about the fact that baseball players, those who hit 3 out of 10 are some of the biggest legends ever. 3 out of 10.
Yeah. Yep. A 300 hitter is still, you know, out almost 70% of the time, depending on, you know, walks and other things. Mm-hmm. But enough about baseball statistics. Your chance to win, Scotty Summer Text giveaway, and Women Win Wisconsin.